Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your amazing love. Lord, how can it be? Oh God, we just thank you again for your goodness and mercy. Help us be faithful to you, bring glory to you. Fill us with your Spirit. God, give us wisdom. We open your word and live our lives, Father. Help us be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me? That's just such a blessing, such a wonderful thing. This morning, I want to open our Bible to James, first of all. Just kind of want to start here, going with the boys. Some of the thoughts from the boys. James chapter 1, verse 1. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. And he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, we sometimes think that whenever we have troubles that we must be doing something wrong. You know, there must be something, we've done something wrong here or there. We get the idea that when we have troubles that God must be mad at us. I mean, there's people that think that, people that teach that. But James, and I always appreciate James and Peter, these smaller books, these were written by the men who walked with Jesus. They talked with him, they lived with him, went through everything with him for several years. And I just can't help but appreciate their insight and their wisdom. Thank you. It's just, like I said, these men walked with Jesus and they saw what he did. And said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And I just have to think how many times that when we have trials, or we have troubles, or we have problems, what's our first thought? First thought is usually to complain about it. First thought is, what did I do now to deserve this? Or, why me? You know, but that's not what James tells us to do. He tells us, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy. That song we sang that Brother Brian picked out, that I'll come, I'll gladly come. But if you deem that I stay a while, I'll stay a while. You know, it talked about the storms of life and the things that were going on. But if I'm ready to go. And I think one of the things that we miss is that we're ready to go. You know, we get so comfortable here and we get things so fixed up. And this is not our life. This is just what we're going through to get to our life. Our life is beyond this. And yet, you know, I mean, part of the trouble, like I think, is whenever it's, I'll come, I'll gladly come. I mean, are we really ready for that? We want to, I'll stay, just fix it where it's real nice. That's kind of where we want it. You know, just make it as comfortable as I can, and I'll just stay here. That's the exact opposite mentality that we ought to have. I'll come. You know, the Bible exhorts us to watch and wait. And it talks about lift up your eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. People who were living in this world that were looking for the next, Abraham was blessed because he was looking for a city whose builder and foundation was God. And while we have the taste of the kingdom here, right now, we don't want to get too comfortable in it. You know, this is not our home. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter trials. You know, consider it joy when you have problems. This is the exact opposite of what we think about. And I think a lot of the reason for that is we get a little too homey here. We get a little too comfortable here. We just like it here. You know, we live in a world where we have heat and air conditioning, a touch of a button. You know, we can sit in a comfortable chair. Might have to go out and work just a little bit, but basically we've got everything in the world you would need. I mean, I've said it before years ago that, you know, 300 years ago, only kings would have ever tasted ice cream. Only kings would have had the comforts that most of us can just have at our fingertips right now. And 10 times better than a king 300 years ago. And it's just so easy for us to get settled, comfortable. And so consider it joy whenever we have problems. That should remind us that this world's not our home. We're just passing through, as the song says. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere among the blue. So whenever we have problems, trials, it's an opportunity for us to draw nearer to God. And I think that's what he's talking about here. That to remind us that this mess of a world is not our home. We're just trying to get through it. And so when we have these trials and troubles, instead of complaining about my life just being disrupted for just a little bit, it ought to be a joy to us that it's showing us that this isn't my world. This isn't my home. So consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, we get soft. I think that's one of the things. We look at this generation around us now. They don't know how to feed themselves. They don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't know how to do chores. They don't know how to do anything. They just follow whatever everybody else says or whatever the government says or the school says, and they just float along, lost in a video world or lost in a computer world. And that's their world, and they don't know anything about hardship. You know, I think one of the things that makes people strong is troubles. That's what makes people strong. You don't get strong coasting along, just floating along, getting along, doing everything just handed to you. It takes hardship to make men, and it takes hardship to make women the way God wants us to be. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, if we're never tested, if we're never challenged, if we never have opposition, you don't get any stronger. We just buckle at the first little bump in the road. And you just want to give up. You just want to throw your hands up. But when you're counting all these things joy and all these things that come our way as something that will strengthen us, that'll harden us, that'll help us be strong. My grandma used to say, whatever doesn't kill you will make you stronger. I mean, it's just, nobody just plans for problems or things like that. But when they come, they'll make you stronger. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to consider when we're training our children. You know, we try to make it just so comfortable for them. Try to make everything just so-so. They need some hardships in their lives so that they can grow strong. They need some difficulties in their lives so that they can learn how to deal with difficult decisions. You know, today some little difficulty comes along and people just melt down because they can't handle it. They don't know how to handle it. Our duty as parents, the training children, is one to train them to be godly people, strong people, good people that can make right decisions, honest decisions, real decisions, people that can actually handle a little bit of opposition in their life. You know, we live in a world where, I mean, you can't even voice your opinion anymore about anything because somebody will have a meltdown. It's weak, emotional people because they've never had any challenges. They've never had to work before they could eat. They've never had to go without anything in their lives. They get whatever they want, just hand it to them. They think that food comes from the grocery store. They don't know that people actually have to grow it before they can eat it. And yet, whenever you mention something to them, or you don't even have to mention it to them, you just say something, and they get all offended, and they just have a blow a gasket. That's just complete immaturity. That's just a world of people who have had no struggles living in this world. And if you ask them, they tell you they have all kinds of struggles. But they don't know anything about reality. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Verse 4. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, how do you get to a place where you're perfect and complete, lacking in nothing? Wouldn't that be a place that we would all want to strive for? To be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. Sometimes we get our goals ahead of reality. You know, we have our ambitions and we have the things we think that will make us perfect and complete. And we set our sight for those goals and we never get there. Because we're looking for an achievement instead of the road that will get us to that place. You can't just have a hope for being perfect and complete and then just set out to build the way to get there. Here's the way to get there. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance, that means going through something. That means struggling through something. You know, whenever we can learn to be content with the position we're in, the place we're in, we can learn just to be happy right where we're at. And it might not be the best situation. You know, just talking this morning about maybe you women at home. I mean, okay, maybe your refrigerator, you got to kick it once in a while to keep it working. You know, and you can sit around and wish for, oh, I wish I had a better refrigerator. Or you can just take care of what you have. Be happy. Be content with what you have. Learn to take care of what you have. Learn to live with what you have. That's how endurance is built. You know, we live in a world where the refrigerator light went out. It's time for a new refrigerator. Well, it still works just fine, but that light bulb's out. I got to go get a new one. The first little thing that goes wrong, we got to go fix it. We got to go get a new one. Maybe your windows don't work and you got to kind of pound on them to open them, or you got to grease them up or whatever every time you mess with them. Oh, you could just wish that you had a new one of those. Oh, I wish I had new windows. Didn't have to do all of this. Or you can just learn how to live with the ones you got. You can endure the ones you have. You know, even though we might be able to one of these days replace them, learn how to endure with them while you got them. Learn to be happy with the situation you have right in front of you. Learn to be content that way. That's how you build endurance. Accepting the situation that God's put you in. Accepting the place. Maybe your husband, he just does some dumb things. Well, learn how to love him and cherish him. He's your husband. Quit trying to worry about changing him. Learn to love him right where he's at. Same way with your wives. Learn to love them right where they're at. You can't just fix them. One of the biggest problems we have is people that are just trying to fix everything. You know, the more I notice the people that are just out there trying to fix everything, they usually make twice as big a mess as they would if they would learn to endure things. And when they have the opportunity to repair something or fix it, yeah. But there's people just going around all over just trying to fix problems. And it don't work. That's one of the things that, you know, you see that in the government. The government sees a problem and they send 15 people to go fix it and usually wind up causing 10 times the trouble that they would have ever had before. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, we live in this world, and what do we want out of this world? I mean, I think the most precious thing that we as human beings can obtain is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, temperance. And the Bible says against those there is no law. You know, if we'd put as much ambition and as much strength into seeking those things, you know, one of the boys talked about, read in Matthew, but where the Gentiles seek after all those things around us. You know, yeah, they've got a nice house, they've got a nice home, they've got a nice car, they've got nice clothes, they've got everything just so-so. Everybody's seeking after that. But if a person has love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit of God. You know, when we're in heaven, you know what's going to count? Far above a nice house, far above a nice situation, far above a nice job, far and above all the comforts that we've sought for on this earth. The guy that's up there at the very top is going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He's going to be perfect. He's going to be complete, and he's going to be lacking nothing. What's wrong with that? To be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. You know, we get so easy for us to get things all twisted up, get so caught up. But what we ought to be seeking for is to be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. I mean, that's just such a privilege that we have that opportunity. Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You know, that's what, if we're not content here, we've told it before, you know, Bible says, as the tree falleth, so shall it lay. And there's people, I don't know what they're thinking, but they think that when they die, I guess the worms are going to eat them and they're not going to lust anymore. They're not going to want, be greedy anymore. They're not going to be angry anymore. They're not going to be bitter anymore. That's not the way it works. We have this time. This time, right now, to prepare ourselves to be the one up there that has love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That's what this time here is for. It's not going to change between here and heaven or here and hell. It just ain't going to change. What we are, what we've done, what we've completed in this world, those we've helped, those we've influenced, those we've blessed, it all ends. And we've made our mark. And then it's over. Whenever we... if we would focus our time on obtaining those things of the highest value, you know, we get amused by trinkets, but if our heart isn't on those things of the highest value, those other things are not going to mean anything. They're going to be gone. We don't take them with us. The only thing we take with us is those things that are valuable. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Being perfect. That goes with us. All everything else that we think is important gets left behind. The things we think are so precious, someone else comes along, picks them up, plays with them for a while, and thinks they're theirs. And then they die. And someone else comes along, picks them up, plays with them for a while, and thinks they're theirs. But those better things, they'll last. They travel with us. They will break right through death. They'll break right through whatever is ahead of us. And they go with us. Everything else gets screened away. Like a sieve, like going through a combine. The rest of it just blows out the back as waste. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That is just a blanket statement, a blanket promise that's available to every one of us, just like being perfect, complete, lacking nothing. It's available to all of us. He who comes knocks, it will be answered to him. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach will be given to him. You know, we look at the world today and you just see people, bad people, having power. And you just see them make bad decisions that doesn't even help promote their own cause. You just see dumb things happening. And I've just thought about that. You know, bad people don't have wisdom. That's why I think that, you know, you would think that there would be someone that would come up with enough power just to take over the whole world. But they get some power and then they start doing dumb things. They don't have the wisdom that's going to last. They don't have the wisdom that's going to carry them through. That's why the world isn't just taken over and ruled forever by an evil man. Some rise up, but they don't have what it takes to sustain it. Our goal is not to rise up and control this world. Our goal is to obtain those things that really last. Point is bad people don't have wisdom. No matter how smart they may seem, they just lack it. But the wise man sees through all of that. And sees that he wants the stuff that's going to go through, that's going to be saved. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Those things are going to, they're going to live. They're going through. If you got them. If any of you let him ask, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. God's not going to scold you for asking for wisdom. He gives it to you generously. That's the wonderful thing about this. God is so full of giving, so ready to help us obtain the good things. May the Lord add his blessing. Seek that which is perfect, so that you lack nothing. Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God bless you.
This week we're supposed to bring a teaching of Jesus, one of Jesus' teachings, and tell how we can apply it to our lives. And one verse that I can really apply to my life is, "A soft answer turneth away wrath," in Proverbs 15, verse 1. I think that's really neat because God knows human nature so good that he can spread tips through the Bible like that just work to help us get along with our fellow man.
I got Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And that's something I could work on a little bit more, just trusting God each day and not being anxious or worrying about things that I don't need to worry about.
I got Matthew 5, verse 40, 41, and 42. "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." And I'll have something that I'm wanting to do that I'm working on or something, and maybe one of my siblings might mess it up, or they want me to go help them with whatever they're doing, and I can get irritated at that, and I should just take more time to see the needs of others and rather than worrying about whatever I want to do.
I got a couple verses in Matthew 7, verses 3 and 4. "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, there is a log in your own eye?" Sometimes for me, there's enough to worry about what I need to do or what I need to work on. And I need to just focus on what I need to work on and not look at other people, how they could do better or do better, but I need to just worry about the things that I need to worry about.
Jesus said to go to those who ask, I can apply that to my life by giving stuff my siblings ask for something I can give it to them.
I thought about what Brother David had said about Jesus' teachings on forgiveness, and how Brother David has talked about that to be able to forgive other people over and over again, we first have to fully acknowledge that Jesus has forgiven us.
I thought about in Luke 10, it talks about the Good Samaritan, where there's a man beaten by the robbers on the road, and a priest and a Levite passed him on the opposite side of the road, but the Good Samaritan took him to an inn and took care of him. I can apply that to my life by being ready to help others.
When Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive his brother 7 times, Jesus said not 7 times, but 7 times 70. And Jesus even was able to forgive when he was hung on the cross. And so that's a good example for us, and I can apply that by forgiving with smaller things now.
Good morning, everyone. Blessing to be here, see y'all. And so I had a couple of thoughts. I was looking around, and in the Wisdom of Sirach, the last chapter, chapter 51, he talks about looking for wisdom. I'll read it here, starting in verse 13. While I was still young, before I went on my travels, this is the writer, Jesus Ben, and I sought wisdom openly in my prayer. Before the temple, I prayed about her, and I will search for her to the end of my life. From blossoms to ripening grapes, my heart rejoiced in her. My foot embarked on her righteous path, and from my youth I hunted for her. We hunt for wisdom. I inclined my ear a little and received her, and found much instruction for myself. There was progress for me in her. To him who gives me wisdom, I will give glory. For I purposed to practice wisdom, and was zealous for the good, and was not put to shame. My soul strove earnestly for her, and I examined myself closely in my performance of the law. I stretched out my hands to the heights, and mourned my ignorance of her. I directed my soul to her, and in purification I found her. I acquired a heart for her from the beginning, therefore I was not forsaken. My heart was stirred to search for her, and therefore I gained a good possession. The Lord gave me a tongue as my reward, and I would praise him with it. And so he wanted wisdom. Look, he prayed about it, sought it, and then God gave him wisdom. And so that's something I've been thinking about lately, just the thought of looking for wisdom and asking the Lord for wisdom. Give it, ask it, and watch for it. And then this whole book that he wrote, The Wisdom of Sirach, is just filled with wisdom, with what he learned and everything. And then I saw also in the first chapter, he says, in verse 1, all wisdom is from the Lord, and it's with him forever. Who can count the sands of the seas, the drops of rain, the days of eternity? Who could search out the height of heaven, the breadth of earth, the abyss, and wisdom? Wisdom was created before all things, and the insight of prudence from eternity. To whom has the root of wisdom been revealed? And who has come to know her great deeds? There is one who is wise and is feared exceedingly. He who sits upon his throne, the Lord himself created wisdom. He saw and numbered her and poured her out on all his works. In the midst of all flesh, according to his gift, and he provided her for those who love him. I like that last part of verse 8. He provided wisdom for those who love him. So that, what I'm getting out there out of that is just to want wisdom, seek it, and the Lord will give you wisdom if you want it. And so that's kind of what I just, all my thought really was just seeking for wisdom and how it says very plainly that he sought for wisdom and the Lord gave him wisdom. So that's about all I had thought of. Does anyone have anything to add, any comments to add to that? It's just a blessing. Does anyone have any prayer requests for the prayer?
Floyd and Chris's
as they travel. Alright, let's go to prayer. Dear Father in heaven, just thank you for the blessings you give us each day. A new day and another chance to serve you and to learn from you. And just praise you for all your blessings. We want to pray especially for those traveling Floyds and Chris's, that keep them safe as is your will. And help those among us that are struggling, just help them with strength and healing. And just pray also for the brothers in the other countries, keep them, help them. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Jesus, never mind.
Run to Jesus, pray for me.
Yeah.
No!